Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It's not only vaccines that are making the news, but also the ex-president, Jacob Zuma. And it's a very interesting game of chess that is taking place at the moment. And that is a game between, is it between Zondo and Jacob Zuma? Is it between Jacob Zuma and the people of South Africa? I'm not quite sure. But in order to get a little bit of information, we've asked criminal lawyer Daniel Witz to join us. Daniel, good morning. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us once again. How are you?
Morning, Howard, and morning to the listeners. Thank you for having me on the show.
A great pleasure. It's a fascinating standoff at the moment, don't you think?
It definitely is. You mentioned chess, and one would think it's actually checkmate for our former president, Mr. Zuma, with that he's run the end of his race, but it seems not.
Well, one of his options, you know, we've seen this dance before where Jacob Zuma alleges something or does something, it lands up in the courts, then the courts demand that he does whatever it is that he's meant to do, and so it goes on. But now it seems as though he might not want to listen to the courts.
Well, it's become quite a predictable tactic by Jacob Zuma. He preaches and shouts that he wants his day in court, that he's innocent, that he's been victimized. And then when the opportunity arises for him to tell his side of the story, he puts up the Stalingrad defense. Delay, 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 postpone and challenge every aspect so he doesn't have to see his day in court. But the interesting point now is he's never actually attacked the Constitution, or should I say more spat in the face of the Constitution, which is the guiding, governing document of every citizen of the Republic of South Africa. He has, in fact, done that.
So what happens now? You know, what are his options?
So we have to wait for the Zondo Commission, the attorneys from the Zondo Commission, to issue a new summons for Mr. Zuma to appear before them. He's informed them of his intent to be in contempt of the Zondo Commission by saying, I'm not going to appear no matter what. The Constitutional Court says when you are issued with a subpoena or a summons, you do have to appear. You cannot remain silent because this is not a criminal trial, which he seems to be confused about because he's treating it like that.
So I wanted to get clarity from you on that, but we'll come back to that in a sec.
No problem. Mm. And the point is he has to appear. He said, I'm not going to appear. Spat in the face of the Constitution. And as such, his options are either appear or face a criminal charge of contempt, which carries a fine and or imprisonment up to 3 months.
So let's assume he goes that route. He says, I'm not attending, I'm not well, I don't feel like it, I can't be bothered. Whatever excuse he tenders, what happens then?
The team from the Zondo Commission would have to bring an application of contempt to say, we believe that Mr. Zuma is in contempt of a lawfully issued summons in terms of the Commissions Act, in terms of the Constitutional Court order. And Zuma would have to, not that he can, he would have to oppose it and say, I'm not in contempt. But how he would skin that cat, I've absolutely no idea how he can say he's not in contempt when he has in fact said, I will and intend to be in contempt.
What kind of a case is that? I mean, how quickly does that a contempt of court case work through the system? In other words, how soon could Jacob Zuma land up in prison for being in contempt of court?
Depending on the speed of the Zondo Commission and their drafters, quite quickly, in fact, because it technically should be an unopposed application, but he can oppose it. So you're looking at a matter of months from the day that it's issued and served on him by the civil application in the civil court, the High Court, and it would happen in a couple of months. He would have an opportunity, if he does oppose it, to argue why he shouldn't be held in contempt. As you can see, he has said, I have no defense, even if he does defend it. And the court would rule to say either he must pay a fine, a hefty fine, or serve 3 months in prison.
Incredible. And if he suddenly decides that he's ill, given the fact that he's actually stated that he doesn't intend appearing?
He has used that on quite a few occasions, and you'll notice that the Constitutional Court, in their judgment, actually said that they believe the Zondo Commission has treated him more than fairly. In fact, they've treated him with kid gloves.
Yes, I saw that. There was a rebuke there, wasn't there?
Yeah, it definitely was, because he thought he's been victimized, and that Zondo completely says you're guilty and I'm going to find against you, even though it's a commission of inquiry, not a criminal court. But he intends to, Zuma would have to oppose it, and the fact is that if he says he's sick, then it's up to Zondo and his team to say, we'll give him a short delay. I don't think they should, because he has used that defense in numerous courts, including the Zondo Commission. But he would have to produce, if he can produce a lawfully written, drafted medical certificate, medical note, then yes, they probably would give him a short postponement, but there's only so long he could use that excuse for.
Now let's assume he decides, okay, he has very little options. He's going to... he's going to appear before. He's not allowed to remain silent. We know that now. What are his other techniques that he might use?
He can't remain silent because a witness is not entitled to remain silent. An accused in a criminal trial has a right to remain silent. But we would imagine, I believe the term is the Durumayeni evidence of he doesn't want to incriminate himself, which the directors of the commission do allow that, so he can sit there and say exactly what Durumayeni said with every single answer, that he wants to enforce his right not to incriminate himself, which has its own implications.
So why wouldn't he have done that in the first place? What are those implications?
The problem is, and I find this with a lot of, I won't say whistleblowers, I find a lot of witnesses who have had the whistle blown on them, is that the commission, their advocates and their investigators are really excellent, despite what the public may think, that it's a waste of money, etc. They really are excellent. So they know the answers to the questions they're asking before the witness actually gives their answer. So our law has a saying that says silence can be seen as an admission. So even though he's not remaining silent, the fact that he won't give his version, and him or Durumayeni, whoever we're referring to, says, I don't want to incriminate myself, is an answer in itself.
So it actually does implicate him, whether he likes it or not. We saw that with Durumayeni. We didn't think that she was innocent of anything just because she didn't actually acknowledge it.
Exactly. And I would like to think that the fact that Zondo has said to him, and it was in the Constitutional Court judgment, and South Africa saw it for themselves when Zuma did in fact appear. Zondo said to him, just as the Deputy Chief Justice said, please, this is how you have been implicated by certain witnesses. Come and explain your side of the story. He has the opportunity to have his day in court, even though it's a commission of inquiry. It's a lawfully enacted commission of inquiry. Come tell us that you didn't place ministers and the instructions of the Guptas. Give us this evidence. And the fact that he will either, should we say, remain silent by saying he doesn't want to implicate himself gives the answer that the commission are looking for.
Brian wants to know, what happens if he wants to leave the country?
Oh, that's interesting, because he has been charged criminally in the matter with the French company.
Right, yes.
So I believe they haven't confiscated his passport. It's not as if he can hide by going to an international airport, but I do see rumors running around that he wants to go to Russia for medical treatment. I'm not sure what's wrong with our public hospitals. I mean, he's more than welcome to go to those. But in terms of him skipping the country, I would like to think that the police or the law enforcement would stop him. However, they should aim to confiscate his passport, as they would with anyone who's charged with a criminal offense, where there's a potential that there might be a flight risk.
And I would imagine that most countries would be a little bit circumspect in harboring an ex-president who's facing a criminal allegations. I mean, aside maybe from Cuba.
Well, I mean, I think we were doing that under the Zuma regime.
We certainly were.
We were harboring a couple of ex-ministers and
Omar al-Bashir,
presidents.
Certainly. Yeah.
Exactly. But I think especially in this day and age, post-Trump era, et cetera, I think a lot of countries would be wary to, especially with everything that's going on in South Africa, be wary to harbor him.
I would imagine. Putting Jacob Zuma aside for just one moment, the commission does seem to be nearing the end. What happens next?
Well, because there was a period where the Deputy Chief Justice Zondo was isolating because of his exposure to someone with, who was COVID positive. There might be room to argue for a short extension, but I can't imagine they would go longer than the middle half of the first half of this year. They do need to wrap up. They do need to prepare the report. And once the report is finalized, I would imagine they're going to face numerous challenges to the report by implicated persons. But then it's up to our law enforcement agencies and the current president of South Africa to act on the report.
So does the information effectively gathered at the commission then get handed to the NPA to decide if there is a basis for a case against person A, B, or C? Is that
what
would happen?
So, right. Yes, but not only the NPA, certain individuals who stand to be suspended or dismissed from ministerial positions, their report would go to various government entities over and above the National Prosecuting Authority.
Absolutely fascinating, Daniel. There's no doubt we're going to get you back.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.